The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. Thank you for listening to Audio Journal.
You are listening to Sports Roundtable.
Hi, everybody. Welcome once again to Sports Roundtable. I am Bob Branko. Good to be with all of you today. This is episode 454, dated Monday, August 3rd, 2026. And before we continue, let me introduce the panel members that we have so far. We have Mitch Pomerantz.
Good afternoon. Good evening from beautiful downtown Pasadena. We're actually a little east of downtown, but close enough for government work, as we used to say. It's 89 and sunny here. Thank goodness our HVAC, our heat pump system works here because it's warm and it's beginning to get a little humid. And those of us who live on the left coast, we're not used to it. And we just got through dealing with a week of that in St. Louis, so it's good to be back in relatively dry country.
We are wet today, on and off rain, and a little bit humid, not quite 89, though we're about 10 degrees cooler than that, but typical August weather. Don Wardlow.
Yeah, it was wet here today in Jersey. They were talking about flooding. I don't know if we got it, but it sure enough was wet, and who knows about the rest of the week.
Okay. As far as I know, Peter Altschul might be here, but I'm not certain about that. Reverend Michael Guerin has another commitment. I don't think he'll be here today. He's on his way to a Beep Ball World Series event, from what I understand. And good luck to whoever is in that World Series. I wish nothing but the best for those teams involved. And, of course, Luther King is still recuperating. And, of course, our thoughts and prayers continue to be with him at this time. Before we continue, let me thank those people who make it possible for a Sports Roundtable to be made available. We start out with Raymond Gay, our producer. Thank you for what you do. I'd like to thank the media outlets for what they do as well. And, of course, Jacqueline Sylvia of JS Web Solutions. She posts our shows on my website. In order for people to find those archives, they must go to www.brankoevents.com, and they must arrow down till they see Sports Roundtable Podcasts. Okay, so click on those, and you will see most of our archives from latest to earliest. And as Peter would say, merci, Jackie. I want to say hi to Trish, who's our facilitator for today's program, and Diane, who is our streamer. And because we are being streamed, let me give out my email address for those people who would like to write to us. We always want to hear from fans of our show so that we can have a better idea of what they think, because this show is for the fans. My email address is www.brankoevents. Oops, that is my website. Excuse me. Well, I'll give you my email address. It's bobbranko93@gmail.com. bobbranko93@gmail.com. Well, Mitch, I'm going to tell you, you and I both have reasons to celebrate this weekend. The Red Sox swept your Dodgers, so that gives me a good reason to celebrate.
Yeah.
And you have a good reason to celebrate because your Dodgers landed Tarek Skubal, which I must tell you, I'm not a Dodgers fan, but I'm happy for you, Mitch, and for your Dodgers that they are able to get another strong pitcher to go with the rest of their starters. But I must tell you, that action that the Dodgers made of acquiring Tarek Skubal is a primary reason why baseball might be on strike next year. I think we would all agree upon that.
I don't disagree at all on all counts. I think Skubal coming to the Dodgers, though, is going to have another benefit. Well, first of all, what it tells me is they're not absolutely certain about Snell or Glasnow, and I'm not really certain about Snell and Glasnow. It sounds good. Snell's supposed to be coming back after one more rehab start, so maybe next week. But I don't trust either of them. Snell's probably going to be okay. Glasnow, that's a chronic problem. His back issue is a chronic problem. So what this tells me is they're not sure about them. And after the performance of Emmett Sheehan yesterday, it would not surprise me if he gets sent to the minors. He is horrible. Sasaki seems to be coming around. But the benefit to Glasnow Scoogle coming, the Dodgers have not played well since the All-Star break. They really haven't. And because they've got a 10 or a 10.5 game league, it's subconscious. It's clearly not at top of mind with them. But subconsciously, I think that they're mailing it in. I think that they believe, probably accurately, that they can play 500 ball from now to the end of the season, and it won't make a difference, a bit of difference. They'll still be in the playoffs, and maybe they don't care about having a better record than the Brewers. Right now, I think Milwaukee's got a half-game edge on them. But Scooble, from what I'm hearing, is kind of like Clayton Kershaw. He is a competitor. He kicks butt and takes names later. So this may have an added benefit, Tarek Skubal coming to the Dodgers. He may say, hey, guys, there are no guarantees in baseball. You're not competing as hard as you can. You better get your act together. And I'll say this about the Red Sox, and I you know, mentioned it in a couple of the emails back and forth to you, Bob. I really do believe the Red Sox are the best team in the AL, and it doesn't matter where they finish. They'll make the playoffs. It doesn't matter whether they finish first, whether they get past New York or Tampa Bay, but they're the best team in the AL I've seen all year.
Well, I think they're the best team in baseball right now. They've won 25 out of their last 30, I believe. And this is a team that was historically bad until mid-June. They were really historically bad. We all know that. I think it's safe for me to say right now, with a lot of confidence, that Chad Tracy ought to be manager of the year, interim or otherwise. I don't see anybody else. I heard that the guy from the White Sox, Will Venable, is in the lead for manager of the year. But really, folks, I think Chad Tracy ought to get that nod.
As for Scooble,
If the Dodgers want to settle for being a 500 team the rest of the way, adding Scooble kind of contradicts that.
Well, it does. It does. I think the players are kind of, as I say, subconsciously, they think they can phone it in, and that's what I think the advantage that Scooble brings. He's not going to be happy with that.
If I may jump in here really quick, 865-713, is that you, Michael?
That is.
Okay, good. That's what
Michael.
I'm sorry, guys. I wanted to make sure.
And by the way, Michael?
Can you hear me? Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you, Michael.
Okay. Hey, I just wanted to make a quick call in from the 50th anniversary of the National Beat Baseball World Series. We're getting ready for our opening ceremonies here, and we will start to play ball tonight. And actually, in our bracket, we're going to play both Boston teams.
So the Renegades are in there, right?
Renegades, we play them tomorrow. We play Boston strong tonight.
And what's your
I played
team
for the Renegades briefly back about 25 years ago. I played on the Renegades once.
Yes.
What's your team, Reverend, so I know who to root for? What's your team?
The Bayou City Heat.
Okay, because no way I'm going to root for the Renegades. Sorry. But Bayou City Heat. I got a YouTube thing, and some of those games get streamed on YouTube, and if I catch one of yours, I certainly will, tune in, Michael.
You can hear there's... They're starting the ceremonies now, and I just wanted to report live from here, from Aurora, Illinois. And I heard you guys talking about the Dodgers and the Red Sox, and I'm jealous. But anyway,
I don't blame you.
Talk about for the this is the series, and we'll sign off, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Well, good luck to all the teams involved, Michael, and have a great time.
All right, thanks. Good luck.
Can you all hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Peter, yes. Peter. Well,
okay. The Zoom has changed. You no longer have to hit that, that okay button. At least I didn't have to.
Well, I did. That's okay.
Oh, that's weird. Anyway, I want to say that I disagree with Bob about the manager of the year. It's an obvious choice, and we haven't talked about it. And that's the manager of the New York Yankees, who I think has done a fabulous job this year. He continues to do a fabulous job every year.
Come on.
Aaron Boone, the guy that people want to get rid of for years.
Every year. I think this year has been spectacularly effective, and we ignore him at our peril.
Yeah, because you like us losing. I know that.
Peter, you made my day.
I'd still vote for Venable because of what he started off with. He started off with a team that lost 100 games last year. Boston did
That's
not
true.
Lose 100 games last year. They were in the wild card series, and if Cam Schlittler didn't pitch the game of his young life, you know, they could have beat our Yankees that night, but they didn't. But Venable was really starting off from square one. I mean, 2 years ago, that was a 120 losing White Sox team. They bested the old 62 Mets. And then last year, they lost 100. And this year, they're not going to come close to losing 100.
It's going to be a toss-up.
Yeah.
By the way,
Go ahead, Peter, then Mitch. Go ahead,
It is absolutely true if the Red Sox are on a roll right now. But, you know, we have to wait till the season's over because, you know, the Red Sox won't be this hot for the rest of the year. So the question is, will they continue to play well but not this well, or they go back to what they were doing in the early part of the season, which I doubt. But you can't rule that out. You know, given
something was figured out on this team. That's all I know.
Well, I mean, I'm delighted, but I also, I think, Mitch, you said this. I'm delighted that the Red Sox swept the Dodgers. But it doesn't really matter in the scheme of things. You know, the Dodgers are going to make the playoffs. You know, they're going to be the favorite. They're going to be the favorite to win the World Series. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. And next week, by the way, the Dodgers host the Brewers when we get off this current road trip. Now I'm trying to remember what I was going to say. It's just flown out. My head. So I'll hopefully think about it next few minutes.
But that's going to be an NLCS preview there for Brewers and Dodgers, a rerun of
I agree.
Last year.
Although Philadelphia and Atlanta might have something. Philadelphia and Atlanta might have something to say about that, though.
Well, Philadelphia is in the midst of a collapse. Normally, they wait till September to do that, but this year they did their collapse in July.
And don't forget, the Mets might make a run. You know, they have the big payroll, and big payrolls are supposed to win World Series.
Yeah, they just got rid of everybody, though. They
I know, it's true.
Sent Freddie Peralta to Tampa Bay. They sent Rayleigh to the Phillies, Brooks Rayleigh, one of their pitchers. They sent somebody to White Sox. They just did a fire sale in Queens.
Don, Freddie Peralta is washed up. The Dodgers knocked the stuffings out of him, I think, twice this year. I love these guys trading for over-the-hill pitchers. Peralta is past his prime. Luis Castillo is past his prime. It's just these. You talk about throwing something against the wall and hoping it sticks. 90% of these deadline trades, based on, you know, my experience, don't really help a team. They look good. They make the fans. They excite the fans.
Well, Scooble might be the exception.
Scooble should be the exception. But, I mean, when the Dodgers traded, who did we trade for a few years ago? What's the guy's name? Likely Cy Young winner. And he did nothing for us. He's the one who said he couldn't pitch during the playoffs, one of the games during the playoffs, and I'm drawing a blank on his name, but so many of these trades, way more than half of these trades, they get the fans all excited, they sell tickets, but they really don't amount to much, unfortunately.
And last year, the Yankees traded for Camilo Duval, who'd been doing well with the Giants, and he did
just
garbage for us. And, yeah, they just got rid of him to the Pirates, and,
yeah,
and
yeah,
he deserves it. He deserves it being on an awful team.
Camilo Duval had 1 year, good year, maybe two with the Giants, and he's not been the same.
Well, the Yankees are a pretty awful team these days, too, although maybe they're not quite as bad as the Pirates.
They've got loads of injuries at the moment. Bellinger is out. Judge is out. Stanton's out.
They did trade for somebody.
They did.
And I can't think who it was.
Luis Garcia from the Nationals, but I don't know earthly good he'll be, except unless they want to move out Jazz Chisholm. And the way Jazz has been acting, maybe they want to move him out. I don't know.
Or they could move him to third.
Because you can't
have Garcia play second.
You can't lose Ben Rice. He's their first baseman, and he's one of the few productive guys we have. And Castillo was mostly a first baseman until this year when the Nats had him playing second.
Garcia, yeah.
I don't think he can play third at all. I've never seen third in his record. I looked up his record earlier for my own podcast to see, you know, what we were getting. But I think we're still going to have Ryan McMahon at third.
Well, I think they got Garcia to play third.
I heard he can only play first or second, and I know he won't play first.
Okay. Well, then they're going to play him at second. By the way, Jazz Chisholm has the attitude and the personality of an NFL wide receiver prima donna.
He
wasn't happy. Yeah, he wasn't happy with the Marlins. They traded him. Now he's with the Yankees. He's not happy. He just sounds like an entitled 20-something malcontent.
Well, Don, what is the status of the Judge injury, especially? Every time I hear he's going to come back, and then he's, you know, it gets extended and extended and extended.
I don't see him coming back this year.
Really?
And I never thought a broken rib could, you know, keep you out for 90 days, but I haven't seen one thing that says anything about him coming back even in late September. I haven't heard anything like that. And with the team going nowhere, why should he?
What about Bellinger?
Again, I don't have a whole lot of information on him. I don't think it's as serious, but then I didn't think Judge was in as bad a shape as he turned out to be.
Well, if that really is the case, then the Yankees really might be in serious trouble about making the playoffs.
The Yankees, I think, are going to end up behind the Red Sox within the next couple of weeks.
I think you're right.
I mean, if Judge is not going to come back for the rest of the year, and I haven't, you know, then I don't see how the Yankees can seriously compete.
You know. It's hard with all these injuries, that's for sure.
And he's not young either. He's 34. So I just don't know.
Yeah, old Judge is? Judge is 34?
He's 34. He broke in 2016 at the major league level. He'd been in the minors for a few, and I don't know whether he was a collegiate or a high school boy. I don't remember.
Well, I didn't realize he was that old. I thought he might be around 31, 32 at the most.
There are old 34s and there are young 34s.
Yeah, notoriously, Frank Robinson was supposed to be an old 30 when he was traded from the Reds to the Orioles. That's the most notorious old 30-year-old story I've heard.
He was still hitting. He still had one good season when he finished his career with L.A.
After being a player manager for Cleveland.
He was special. Yeah. He was very special. So, and I was going to tell a Mets story if I could, because it does have to do with
please.
This.
Let's hear a good old-fashioned Mets story.
This whole trade, you know, deadline thing. They were on the horn with the Rays about the Freddie Peralta trade, And now this is the owner. Understand. You must understand this is the owner. This is the guy who should theoretically, you know what he's doing, or at the very least have a brain trust who does. Well, the people, whoever does the negotiation for Tampa Bay says, well, in the trade, do you want any of my biscuits? And this guy, Stearns, who ought to know better, he's like, what? And the thing that anybody in baseball should know is that the AA Tampa Bay team is the Montgomery Biscuits.
Biscuits.
And if the guy's offering him any of his biscuits, does the Mets want any of their AA ball players, which hopefully they took? I don't know what they ended up getting for, you know, Freddie Peralta. You know, the thing with him is he might, you know, you don't know what he might do once he gets out of New York. You know, there's something about certain players, both in Flushing and in the Bronx, that the minute they leave, you know, they suddenly get good. Sonny Gray.
Or New Jersey, as in the New York Jets.
Sonny Gray is the most egregious example.
Yeah,
of somebody
Sonny Gray is a good example.
Got
yeah.
great as soon as he left New York.
It's like all the New York Jets quarterbacks.
Yeah. Yeah, and the one who almost made the Super Bowl last year.
Well, one did win the Super Bowl. Last
Sam Darnold.
Darnold, yeah.
That's right. Former Jet.
That's right.
The Red Sox traded four prospects and Carlos Narvaez to Baltimore for Hadley Rutschman today. And now here's a guy who's still on the shelf with a wrist and hand injury. So a lot of people love the trade. I'm 50-50 on it right now.
I didn't know he was injured. I wish there was a catcher the Yankees could get and that we are in dire need. I thought Gary Sanchez was the worst catcher named Sanchez that we could possibly find. But we found a guy named Ali Sanchez who makes Gary Sanchez look like Bill Dickey.
The Red Sox briefly had Ali Sanchez. But is Hunter Goodman still tradable? Maybe the Yankees have a shot to get him at the last minute.
I wish. He'd be great. So, Mitch, what do you have for us?
Well, I was going to say, I'm still having trouble getting to where I need to go. I found the site the other day that gave me all the trades through Saturday, and I'm having trouble finding it right now. I may have to go on the computer later on. The guy, and I can't think of his name, Bob, but when we had our chat about the Sox having three catchers, one of those catchers is not a catcher anymore. It's Wilson Contreras. He's now first base.
Yes.
So it's Connor Wong, former Dodger farmhand, and that other fella that.
Carlos Narvaez has just been traded.
Narvaez, who just got traded, yeah. So, you know, it was Contreras, but they've moved him over to first base. The only problem, just to the comment about Gary Sanchez, there was only one problem with Gary Sanchez. He couldn't catch. He was
correct.
I think he was one of the worst defensive catchers in baseball.
I think he's with the Brewers now, if I'm not mistaken. Doing what? I'm not totally sure.
He's a born DH.
Speaking of born DHs,
yes.
Did you all talk about LeBron James being signed by the Sixers last week?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we did. I believe
we did. Okay. Well, then I won't.
I think I know what DH stands for when you made that reference, Peter. But that's all I'll say.
Somebody said on one of the shows this morning that when you put a bunch of superstars together, it doesn't always work. And with Brown and Embiid and LeBron,
Maxey,
there might not be enough basketballs.
Well, Embiid's going to be hurt for half the season because he always is. So that takes care of that problem. You just hope that they're all healthy for the playoffs. You know, I mean, LeBron's getting old. You know, who knows what he's going to, you know, he's been healthy most of his career, all of his career. But at some point, you know, he's 43 years old or something. at some point.
42 at least.
Just turned 42.
Just 42.
But it's a 2-year contract, so he'll be, you know, almost as old as George Blanda.
Well, I am. I'm just curious. People are saying the Knicks are the team to beat. I'm not sold on that. I think the Knicks went on a run at the right moment. We'll see how much that transfers into next year. It's hard to repeat anyway, an NBA championship. You know, it's hard.
The Spurs have a shot to repeat.
No, the Spurs might win the West and win a championship, but the Spurs lost to the Knicks last year. So,
Am I missing something?
What's that?
The Knicks won it.
Yeah,
that's right.
But the Spurs but I think the Thunder are back again. I think, you know, their best players were hurt last year, so, you know, you can't knock them out. Will Miami get decent with the Bucks guy going down there? It's gonna be an interesting year. I just wish we'd start a little earlier because I'm tired. This is like the most boring season of sports.
Well, football's starting up any day now, so
that doesn't count.
We'll have more to talk about.
That doesn't count.
By the way, I do want to address.
Hold on, Bob. Preseason football doesn't count as football. I'm not sure it counts as, but it doesn't count as football. It might be, going through the motions to figure out who should make the team and who shouldn't, but it's not football.
I wanted to address the comments made by Stephen A. Smith, which I happened to hear personally. I heard a clip of this, and I can't believe he said this. I was astounded when I heard this. Mitch, he was talking about the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
And when they acquired Kessler.
Oh, yeah, I know the comment. About
he said, when you got the five best players that are white, you're not going to win much.
Yeah,
I can't believe he said that.
As I recall, Stephen A. got suspended a few years back for making a very blatantly sexist comment. So, you know, he has no filter. Who knows? He probably won't get suspended now, but that's Stephen A. Smith, and I was amused 3 or 4 years ago when he was talking about getting involved in politics.
He still is,
and,
isn't he?
Well, I don't know if he does a political commentary separate and apart. I've got real mixed feelings about the man, but he does tend to step over that line a time or two.
Some people think he said it to promote ESPN better, give them better ratings. So he wanted to say something controversial because fans eat that up. That's what some people think.
ESPN is still in trouble. I didn't know until this morning. Rich Eisen had been doing a program from 7 to 9 West Coast time, so 10 to noon, and you figured with football season starting up that he'd be there. Well, all of a sudden I heard this morning as I was flipping around on our ESPN station, the Golics are back.
They are.
Senior and junior from
Mike Golic.
Yeah,
Mike
senior
and Mike.
And junior.
Mike and Mike, yes.
Yeah, a different Mike and Mike, but
yes. Different Mike and Mike.
But
Rich Eisen was on, I know they have a new lineup, but I don't know what Rich Eisen is doing, but Rich Eisen was on from like 9 to noon Pacific time.
We only had him for 2 hours.
Well, for SiriusXM, he's on from 9 to noon.
Okay.
So there must be or maybe it's 10 to noon. I don't think so. I think he's on for 3 hours. So I don't know if he's lost his gig. I know the ESPN has changed their whole radio lineup.
They have. They brought a guy over from – two guys over from – who used to do Sunday morning. And I can't think of their names. One guy is based out of Nashville, and they're now doing an afternoon show. And I'm not sure what they've done with Freddie. I almost said Freddie Mercury.
I love Freddie Coleman.
Freddie Coleman. I do too. I do too. And I don't know because ESPN doesn't carry the feed after after 10 o'clock, after 11 o'clock in the morning. They don't carry the national feed. So,
well, ESPN,
yeah, Freddie Coleman is good.
I'm sorry, SiriusXM does carry, obviously, ESPN for the
day.
And I think Freddie's going to be on sort of early evening, East Coast, late afternoon. I think he's been pushed back. I'm not sure I heard that exactly correctly, but I don't think he's leaving outright. But I he's one of the better people they have on radio. I very much like him.
Yep.
But some people say Stephen A. Smith made those comments for ratings purposes. I don't know if I believe that or not.
The question is, who's more outrageous, Stephen A. Smith or Chris Mad Dog Russo? I'd say Mad Dog. Most of what Mad Dog says is to get ratings.
Well, don't Chris and Stephen A. Smith have a joint show, or they're on each other's channel or something? I think Stephen A. is now on
Mad Dog.
Yeah,
coach.
It seems like a really good fit, actually.
I can see them on the same channel, but not on the same show. Because like the basketball's analogy, there wouldn't be enough microphones for those two. Now, I never liked Mad Dog at all. I did like it and do like Stephen A. Smith. You know, I'd much sooner listen to him rather than Mad Dog.
I can't listen to Mad Dog. I don't get headaches very often, if ever. He'd give me a headache.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Mad Dog's expiration date happened a long time ago. With Mike and the Mad Dog in New York City back in the 80s and 90s, and I guess up until I don't know when, really, you know, did New York sports. I mean, they were actually pretty good listening late afternoon. And I think the two of them were good for each other. But they, they split up, I think, on nasty terms, as I remember. And I don't think the one has been, you know, the same ever since.
Mike was able to keep Mad Dog on a short leash.
Yes. Well,
I always liked Imus's name for those two. He called them Fatso and Fruit Loops.
Well, that's
I love that.
I forgot that.
Because up until he said what he said about the Rutgers women, Imus could say anything and get away with it. But
that was over the top.
I never listened to him again after he said that, because I've been a Rutgers women's fan since 79. I wasn't about to put up with that.
Yeah, that really was an outrageous comment.
Yeah.
I liked Imus, too, for a good chunk of it.
I used to listen to Don Imus. He was out here in L.A. for a while, and I listened to him. And then as time passed, he got crazier and crazier. The only thing that I took away from listening to Don Imus, there was a guy that he loved and his group, and the leader's name was Kinky Friedman. And let me say for the record, I'm Jewish, so I'm going to tell folks their name. It was Kinky Friedman and the Texas Jew Boys.
Yeah. And he did some cool things.
I actually got to see them live.
Wow.
I was in Nashville visiting a friend about 20, well, right around 2000, 2001.
Oh, cool,
and
man.
I got to see them live. They had a place called the Bluebird. If you are ever in Nashville, go to the Bluebird. It's a great place. Mm. So, but Kinky Friedman, Don Imus turned me on to Kinky Friedman.
Yeah, there's some songs of his I would love to do on an open mic night. I've not
done them, but
they're not naughty, and they're not, you know, there's one called Nashville Casualty in Life I'm going to do one of these centuries. I don't know when. I won't do the Ballad of Charles Joseph Whitman. I won't do that.
No, but I know the song. Yeah, and Kinky just passed away a year or so ago, so.
You had one called Sold American. I could do that.
Yep.
That one's straight enough.
That's cleaner.
He had a couple of nice ones.
So I want to talk about Don Imus. Yep. Of course, his sports, he was not much of a sports guy. So, of course, this is not necessarily first wave, but Don Imus, when he got back on WFAN, was a really good interviewer. Became a really good interviewer. The rest of the show was kind of whatever, but his interviews were always worth listening to. That's what I listened to Imus for, was primarily the interviewers.
He had Mike Breen, who was the Knicks.
And he
did the goofy, parody sports shows, episodes, little 5-minute sports scoreboard, and he was funny.
It was funny.
And he's one who went over to the dark side, to television. And, I've said repeatedly that people with real talent are lost and wasted on TV, and he's one of them. The Knicks radio could have used him last year during the playoffs.
Don, I've got to take issue with you on that one. The people that I've heard talk about radio and television, basically in the media, in that end of the media, people in radios are considered AAA to television. That's what I've heard from a number of folks in media on radio, that TV is the majors and radio these days is AAA.
That doesn't surprise me, but, from the position, that from my angle, it really would be better if the talent was on radio, which in a lot of cases there still is some, but I mean, John Miller, my goodness, and Charlie and Tim and Rick Mundy, of course, on color, but Charlie Steiner and Tim Neverett and somebody else I can never get his. Oh, Stephen Nelson. And he's not terrible,
he giggles. I don't want my play-by-play guys giggling. He giggles.
Unfortunately, so do I.
By the way, Steiner did the first 6 innings of 2 games this weekend, Friday's and yesterday's.
Wonderful.
He seems to be coming back.
Oh, that would be great.
And if we're going to talk about sports on the radio, I think every ESPN radio announcer is fabulous. I can't think of one. Whether it's baseball or basketball or football or whatever it is they do.
Really? I didn't care for Carl Ravitch, who they're going to get rid of now. I don't know who they're going to replace him with, but I was not a big, Carl Ravitch fan. I liked Miller and Morgan.
Jessica's fabulous. Yeah.
And Mark Kestacher.
And of course, Mark.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep. And Glanville.
And others.
Who was a college player in a game that I broadcast back in the early 90s when he was at University of Pennsylvania. I had no idea he was going to go to the majors.
What's his name, Don?
Doug Glanville.
Oh, Glanville. Well, he had a major league career, too.
Correct. That's what I mean. I never thought he'd go to the majors. Yeah. I thought he was just a guy,
Do you know who is really good and he may get a chance to go back to the booth? Aaron Boone, the much maligned Yankees manager. I thought he was a very good play-by-play guy.
I thought he was too shrill when he was on, TV. But then, you can do worse. He certainly knows enough. He's got enough, experience.
Well, he's a better broadcaster than the manager.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's a low standard, perhaps, but,
Yeah.
Tell that to Cashman.
It really is one of those puzzles. Don, we have this conversation at least 4 or 5 times a year on this show about how bad Boone is doing and how he should be fired and what is he doing here and what is Cashman thinking. And every year we are absolutely confident that he's going to be fired or moved up or something, and it never happens. It really is one of those mysteries of sports life that I don't fully understand.
In the meantime, the Yankees go downhill from 24, being in the World Series, to last year being in the wild card and then getting humiliated by the Blue Jays, and now to probably not make any this year. It's just going straight down.
You can't really blame Boone for the injuries. I mean, as much as my delight that the Yankees are losing, the fact of the matter is they have a series of injuries, and I don't know when any of these folks are going to come back.
And you know, I mean, I'm delighted as a Yankee hater, but you know, in fairness to Boone, this is not his fault.
Well, he must have something on Brian Cashman because he still keeps his job.
I know, it's amazing. I remember when the GM back in the 70s, he kept firing Martin. How many times did Martin come back? Three times?
Three or four
times. Boone hasn't been touched once yet.
Yeah, well.
And the Yankees were much better under Martin.
Oh yeah. Well, Martin's problem is that he had a big mouth and said things he shouldn't have said. And, you know, George Steinbrenner, who also had a big mouth, didn't like being big mouth back. And, you know, so they get fired, and then he'd bring him back. And, you know, I think it was just a matter of personality clashes. There was only sunshine for one of those two. And then when Reggie Jackson's around, that even complicated matters further. And
Jackson and Martin had their tiffs.
He was set to return when he was killed on Christmas night of, I'm going to say 89. That spoiled my Christmas that year. It made me very sad to hear that he'd been killed.
Yes.
You know, my favorite manager.
I would like to get our participants involved. We have about 18 minutes to go, I believe. So you're listening to Sports Roundtable, and I would like to find out from Trish if anybody has their hands raised. Hello, Trish, are you there?
Trish, can we put you to sleep? We're
probably.
Yeah, we're digging deep in the cave spelunking today.
We are spelunkers, after all.
Yeah.
That's right. So, any hands raised? Anybody would like to talk to us?
You guys hear me?
Yes.
Now we can hear you now,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm Diane. I'm supposed to be a co-host in case something happens. So we do have...
Okay, Diane.
We do have,
we have
Joe Marks.
Oh, let's talk to Joe.
Ah, absolutely. Philadelphia fan, Joe. Yes, welcome, Joe. How are you? Joseph? You are probably...
We also have someone called Zoom User.
Can you hear me?
There he is, Joe.
Yes, is that Joe?
There he is.
Is that Joe? Or is that Zoom User?
Well,
whoever
Zoom
asked if we could hear you, go right ahead.
Okay, so that's me.
You're the Zoom
Joe?
User?
I'm Joe.
You're Joe.
Joe,
yeah.
What can we do for you today?
So I wanted to talk a little bit about the trade deadline, and also wanted to talk a little bit about what kind of Peter brought up earlier, because I saw Peter's email earlier about yesterday about LeBron. First, I want to say, Mitch, when saying that a team could have all the good players and still not win, this coming from a two-time World Series champion L.A. Dodgers fan. Kind of just saying they keep taking up and scooping up all the talented players. So it's kind of hard. But with the Sixers, I see this team kind of trending in the right direction, and I think LeBron definitely helps by no other means other than to give Tyrese Maxey and DJ Edgecombe and Jaylen Brown some tutelage. And I think that LeBron James knew that his best chance of winning a title was coming to Philly, because going to Cleveland, he would have just been welcomed with open arms in the parade, but it wouldn't have moved the meter. Golden State's not as strong as they once were. Miami doesn't have deep enough of a bench, and Philly just seemed like he could play, you know, half the game and not have to be the leading scorer. He would be more the facilitator. Back in the day when we had Ben Simmons, we used to say he's the poor man's LeBron James. Well, now we have the real LeBron James, so we'll see how that goes. But I wanted to get your perspectives on the Phillies acquiring Luis Ferraz from the San Francisco Giants today.
Oh, Joe, he is a great hitter, and he won the, I think it was AL batting title 2 years in a row. He had a very good year with the Padres last year, but he is a defensive liability. The Giants had him playing at first base. So the Phillies kind of have that position filled. So I'm not sure what they're going to do with him, but the man can hit.
He's become a journeyman for a guy who can hit. He's been on four or five teams already.
Yes.
Yeah, he's the Rogers Hornsby of this century, only he probably doesn't have the temper that Rogers had. But, man, he wins batting championships, but he keeps doing it in different cities. And also there's a, right out off the press, the Brewers have picked up Antonio Sensatella from the Colorado Rockies, The Brewers.
The Brewers.
So they'll
add on to their bullpen.
He's decent.
Yeah, so
I wonder where Hunter Goodman's going to go. Go ahead, Joe.
So to answer Mitch's question, so Don Mattingly, and by the way, if we're going to throw manager names out there for manager of the year, we ought to throw Don's name out there. But the idea of Bryce Harper, it's already been confirmed that Bryce will be moving back out to the outfield.
Oh.
Alec Baum, if not traded, will be moving to first base. Bryson Stott will be moving to third, and Luis Ariz will be in second base. Now, finding out the information you just gave me, Mitch, does not make me feel confident considering Trey Turner has 19 errors this season. So.
Instead of moving all those guys around, why don't you just put Ariz at first, leave Scott at second, leave Baum at third?
Yeah, good thought. Yeah, and if you want to play Bryce in the outfield, fine.
That's fine. He played outfield before.
Yeah.
I am always suspicious when a massive defensive change happens this late in the year, because it always takes a while for these things to gel, and sometimes they don't gel, and sometimes they're disastrous. You know, I mean, there's a reason why you start the season with a certain, lineup in place, because it seems to be the best available, and they might make some changes here and there. But to make those many changes, if that's what the Phillies are going to do, I'm less than optimistic that they'll take off and do great things.
Stuff like that in midseason, especially when you're contending.
Well, Mattingly, when he was with us, he made some interesting moves that we called into questions. But, Joe, to your comment, there's a huge difference between players, how they look on paper, and how they actually perform. Right now, Kyle Tucker is hitting around 240 with 10 home runs, I think. Mookie Betts is his third consecutive year where his production is down. We've had Will Smith gone for most of the season. Freeman is still having a very good season. There really is a difference. And yeah, granted, the Dodgers have the second best record in baseball, but the reality is very different. I had misgivings when the Dodgers signed Kyle Tucker in the first place, because I heard some reports that he was on the downslide, and I'm kind of thinking that maybe he is. He's an improvement over last year's Michael Conforto, but not a whole lot.
So, parting question for Pierre. So, Pierre, how much are the Yankees paying you for you promote Aaron Boone to manager of the year?
Good question. They have promised to send me 15 cases of sardines.
Okay.
If you voted for him?
If I vote for him, yes. So.
All right. Have a good night, guys.
You too, Joe. Thank you very much for
your
contribution.
Joe.
All right.
Okay, I want to see if Trish
Diane,
is back.
Diane, you said there was Trish, is there a Zoom user you mentioned? Or Diane mentioned a Zoom user
Trish,
earlier.
Are you back?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
I've been here. Can you hear me?
Now we can.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
So Go ahead.
Okay, so I think this is Kevin, who's the Zoom user. So, Kevin, go ahead.
Yep, I'm here.
Hi, Kevin.
How are you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
I remember 2 weeks ago, Mitch did not think they would go for Skykel. Is his name? Is his name?
Scooble. No, Scooble. I did not. They played a fast one on me.
Well, I've also been reading that Shohei Ohtani coming back pitching is a little iffy. So maybe they just felt this is something they had to do.
Well, they've got to dump. They either got to send Sheehan back to AAA, or put him in the bullpen. So they obviously felt they needed something else, and I still believe it has to do with them not being absolutely certain about Snell, and particularly Glasnow's health.
Well, Dodgers also did a last minute. They picked up another catcher and a pitcher today.
They picked up Ben Roethlisberger,
who's been in and out of the Dodgers for a while.
This is his third time, but he was pretty impressive last year. He was a pretty decent hitter, and he's also a very good defensive catcher.
Yeah, that was a smart move.
They traded to the Rockies, or to the Mets, I should say, a guy that they just DFA'd off their roster that no one's ever heard of, except maybe Don, Chase McDermott, a pitcher.
Who did they get back?
Roethlisberger.
Oh, Roethlisberger. Oh, he was in that deal. Okay.
Yeah. So I didn't hear who the Royals, somebody named Chris somebody, and you're saying he's a pitcher?
Yes. And he's
Triple
coming.
A or Major League caliber? What was his last name?
I think he's been back and forth. A couple of years ago, he had a good year a couple of years ago, but he's kind of been up and down the last two.
There's a guy, Chris Bubik. I think he went to the Dodgers, but from whom I don't know.
Yeah, he was a Royal.
Kansas City.
Okay, and as for Chase McDermott, no, I don't know who he is.
Oh, okay.
But you know, go ahead.
For your edification, Bob, I'm still been looking around on the internet for the up-to-date trades, but I found an article that the title of same covers exactly what we started talking about. Anti-Dodger hysteria reaches new heights after Tarek Skubal trade as MLB lockout looms. It's from The Athletic.
Very expected.
You know, I took economics in college. Isn't this called capitalism?
Yes. That's what it's called.
But you know, Kevin, all the other sports have caps, and those players don't complain about them.
I know. I'm not defending it or saying either way, but it is straight. This is straight-up capitalism at the moment. And
yes.
You know, he who has the money is usually going to get the players.
Of course.
So I have this memory, and I could easily be wrong. Maybe Donnie helped with this. I remember seeing a stat a couple of years ago that pitchers were like star pitchers who get traded in the middle of the year don't really pick up their slack again until like the following year. That takes them a while to get to adjust to a new scene, a new catcher, a new set of signs, whatever.
I think you're right.
Who knows? I'm not making any predictions. But if I'm right, if I remember that, if my memory is correct, then I'd be, you know, if I'm the Dodgers, you hope that he'll be good, but he may not.
He's got a couple of months to get it together for the playoffs.
No, that wouldn't apply to a guy as, you know, otherworldly as Tarek Skubal is. I mean, that does apply to a lot of people, but
I don't know.
He's not coming to New York where there's a vicious press. He's not going to Philadelphia where he would be, you know, messed up by the press if he went wrong. You know, L.A. laid back. You know, the guys show up in the third inning. They leave in the seventh inning. You know, in the press, you know, other than Bill Plaschke, and there's one other, Bayless, although I don't know if he's still working out there.
No. Bayless has been on. He left L.A. years ago. He was in Denver for a while, and I thought the last I heard he was in Atlanta.
Okay, because other than that, the L.A. press, you know, is not known for being vicious. You know, Plaschke is a little strange.
Plaschke is just wrong 90% of the time.
Oh, you'll like this, Mitch. Plaschke, he predicted the new coach at UCLA, they're going to be the team to watch. They're going to be somebody who's going to break out. which led a UCLA fan to write in the Times today. I was looking forward to this season, but it's all over.
Yeah, Plasky's the kiss of death.
That's what he said. He said, it's all over for us. Might as well not even bother watching.
No, so you know, we do have another hand, guys.
Then I will be
allowed. Anything else, Kevin?
One last thought. The late Jim Murray wrote about all these trades that there were so many times were overblown. And, I'll save it for next time.
All right. Thanks very much. Who do we have, Trish?
All right. Next, we have Troy Larson.
Ah.
Troy. Yes, Troy.
Here I am. I just got back from Milwaukee a little while ago, but I have a little Twins update that might be of interest to some people.
Go ahead.
Sure. So last week, the Twins had a couple of walk-off victories, and I think they're probably two of our biggest wins of the season so far. Royce Lewis hit a triple on Tuesday night that scored the tying and winning runs. But that's not the biggest hit. That's not the biggest hit, guys. On Thursday, Cody Clemens hits a walk-off grand slam to win the game with the Twins over the Kansas City Royals 4-3. It was 3-0 going into the bottom of the ninth inning. There were two outs. I know there was a single. There was a walk. There might have been another walk in there or something like that. But with two strikes, down to the last strike, Cody Clemens hits the sixth walk-off grand slam in Twins history.
I don't believe it.
Fantastic.
Peter,
that's as dramatic as it can get, man. That was incredible. I've heard both of those endings. They are wild.
Yeah, so what was your question, Peter? Or
did you hear my comment?
What was it?
Well,
I don't believe what I just saw.
Yes.
Uh-oh. What did you just see, Peter?
Jack Buck, 1988.
Yep. Yep.
That was much more dramatic. That was a World Series and Gibson was hurt and all that. But that's what came to mind. You know,
that quote. Yes, when Kurt Gibson,
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
No, what I want to see is I want to find out if Cody Clemens is any relative to Roger Clemens. I think that would add to it.
Cody
was good at dramatics.
Yeah, Cody Clemens is Roger Clemens' son.
Wonderful.
By the way, Bob, speaking of relationships, Chad Tracy is Jim Tracy's son, and of course, Jim Tracy managed the Dodgers for a few years.
Yes, he did.
In fact, Rick Monday was commenting yesterday pregame that he remembers when Chad Tracy was 10 years old in the Dodger clubhouse running around when Jim Tracy was manager.
I believe it. That was about 30, 35 years ago, because Chad's about, 42, 41?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Troy, what are you hearing about the Vikings quarterback situation?
We got about 30 seconds.
Here's the thing. I've been more focused on the baseball, so I haven't heard much, and I don't really expect much to happen until we get deeper into the training camp.
Okay, that's okay.
All right, sir. Well, we do have to run. Thank you, Troy, as always.
Yep, got it.
Thanks, Don, Michael. Michael, good luck with your Meatball World Series. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Mitch, Trish and Diane, everybody else. Go safe with God's abundant blessings. I'm Bob Branco. Talk to you next week.
You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.